Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. These are questions as of December 5th, and I'm recording on Thursday, December 8th, for publication today or tomorrow. It'll go up. And as always, thank you for your questions and welcome to the holiday season. I'm ready to fill up the joy bucket. I don't know about you, but I recorded Money in Markets yesterday with John Titus, and our theme was fairy tale inflation. Woo! It's unbelievable. Anyway, cash and precious metals. If gold, silver kept in a home safe, can, should they be added to home insurance in case of theft or fire? What I would say is it depends on which risk you want to live in. Depending on your insurance broker, if you can add, I think disclosing it is going to increase the chances of a theft. You know, you have to be very careful about insurance companies and where that information goes, but I, for one, would never add it to my insurance policy. What I would do is make sure my insurance policy, what I would try and do is do it in a way that the total amount, if I got wiped out, the total amount would be covered without specifying gold or silver. I'd put the totals as very honest, but try not to have to specify gold and silver. If you look at the fires that we've experienced out in California with arson, instead of a 1200 degree fire, you're going to have to withstand a 2000 in those cases. That's why I would never want to put my gold and silver all in one place, but it's not a bad idea if you can afford it to get a floor safe that can tolerate 2000 degrees if you can find that. Question is how you get in it after everything melts down. If I was looking for a home safe right now, that's what I would do. I'd look at something that could survive 2000 degrees and I could still get into it after the 2000 degrees. You know, for me, having my personal experiences with some of the different insurance companies, if I was, I'd be very careful. Now I use Farmers Home and Farm Bureau for different kinds of insurance. So I might take a chance with Farm Bureau, but not with some of the others. I had a lot of dealings with AIG and one of their subsidiaries, and you know, I would assume if I did it with a subsidiary of AIG, that now includes, unfortunately, Chubb, you know, it wouldn't be safe. Geopolitics and financial markets. Hi, Catherine. My partner and I are hard money lenders issuing small loans, $30,000 to $125,000, using mortgages and notes very well secured by real estate assets. So you've asked about the presentation by Clive Thompson on CBDC reset. I would frame the issue differently. You could be dealing with significant debasement of the dollar even in a, you know, without a CBDC reset. So the reality is with very serious inflation, the value of your loans could be diminished dramatically. You know, whether or not we go to a CBDC, it could be in a CBDC experience. And I think the chances that the wealthy are going to get wiped out in a controlled demolition is very high if we go to all CBDCs. The question is how and when, and there are thousands of different ways it could happen. Thompson's description was a little bit too specific for me. I don't think you can predict, but I think there are hundreds of ways it can be done. So what I would say is, a lot of the different market signs are flashing deflation in 2023, but I would keep an eye on it. And there's no doubt if we go into, if the inflation continues, you're going to have to inflate at 11% or more, in my opinion, to get out of the, you know, to deal with the debt in the U.S. Now, this, you know, a lot of the emerging markets can't inflate the way the U.S. can, so long as they hold reserve currency status. So debasement of the dollar, unless we go into a deflationary trend, is going to be significant. So I would find a way to start, you know, I would consider from doing, well, here's the thing. If your loans are very short term, you should be okay. But figure, you know, 10 to 50% in some scenarios can get debased away. So I certainly wouldn't do anything very long term. But you might want to bring in your book and start considering doing, you know, you could do something, a deal that's convertible into the underlying asset or priced in the value of the underlying asset. So you have some real asset protection. One way you could do it is a gold or silver conversion feature. So it's almost like a convertible debenture. So take a look at the convertible debenture structures, because in that kind of debasement scenario, the value of the real asset would should go up, and that might protect you. So I would be careful of staying, having a lot of money out in a currency that could experience a significant inflation, which could happen if we don't go into a deflationary cycle. So I would wait and see what happens in January, but then I would be very, very if it looks like it's continuing inflation, so Argentina is at 88% annual inflation. If we're going into that kind of scenario, anything sort of above 5% or more, you could really find yourself debased. Now's the time to come up with an alternative strategy. Catherine, do you believe the protests in China are organic or a funded operation? I think it's a combination. I think the protests are quite real. Whether or not they're juiced by Western entrainment or satellites, I don't know. But John and I have discussed this in Money and Markets. I think you have a faction in the cities, the trade faction, that is really opposed to what the national security state faction is doing. So there's not only real protests, but real backing for them. And I would note the Chinese have backed off of the zero COVID policies. So what that says to me is these protests are real and they're backed up by real billionaires who are mad at the national security guys who are destroying the trade. Hi, Catherine. So do you give way to the premise that Jay Powell and the US banks are fighting for their survival against the Davos crowd? I think there's cooperation and competition. And I think the Fed has much more problem going to a CBDC than some of the European central banks and the ECB. So I definitely think there is tension. Then you say, is there a possibility the Davos crowd could screw with the silver market and create a short squeeze to blow up the US banks? Yeah, but that's if I was the European banks and I wanted to blow up the US banks, that's not how I would do it. Here's the thing, there are thousands of different ways these things can be done. There are thousands of scenarios. So when people get on the internet and have very specific predictions on what's going to happen, to me, it's just more fairy tales. Then somebody has a question about the BIS report on the missing money or missing debt in the derivatives book. John and I cover this on Money and Markets. And as I said, it's very hard. I've read the BIS report several times. It's impossible to tell from that how much of this is real net debt that is greater than what the US reports. Now, I'm absolutely convinced that the real US net debt is much, much higher than what's on the balance sheets of the government, the corporate and government related corporations. So there's a, the gist of this thing is true, but trying to get from their numbers to a figure of what the real net hidden debt in the derivatives book is, I couldn't do it. So, in that sense, I take it with a grain of salt. I do think we're watching lobs back and forth between Europe and the US over the lack of integrity in the financial market. So, let's hope it increases. The Midianite thing is upon us. And if you don't understand what I mean by the Midianite thing, check out my interview with Tom, with Thomas Meyer on the story of Gideon. Hi, Catherine. Last week's money markets, you said we're headed into a period of significant deflation. No, I said market signals are flashing the likelihood of a significant deflation. We're in a highly managed situation. So, the market signals can say 80% chance of deflation in 2023, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. So, I go back to the scenario planning. And again, we're going to have another scenario plan design in this year's annual wrap up. You need to prepare for multiple scenarios, both deflationary and inflation. What does this mean, you ask? What it means is a dramatic decrease in economic activity, dramatic increase in trade, dramatic increase, decrease in shipping, in company revenues, and expect unemployment to rise. So you're talking about an economic depression. Now, does that mean that your inflation would drop? Depends on what, or your income would drop. It depends on what sectors you're in. What it does mean is there is less demand for goods and services, which should be deflationary in prices. But given the monetary printing and sort of monetary policy, in fact, we could see the opposite. We could see sort of economic activity slow way down, but prices continue to hold or rise. So when commentators talk about stagflation, that's a distinct possibility. So we run the risk of a deflation where we get squeezed between lower incomes and higher prices, which is the slow burn, which has been going on for years, but it could accelerate. Significant deflation, figure there's a, I don't know, certainly a 50 to 80% chance next year we see a significant decrease in economic activity. And part of it is, if you look at the corruption we're dealing with, no economy can perform with this level of organized crime. It's just, organized crime is devastating so many different parts of the economy and so many different people's sort of hope and willingness to take risk and try things. So there's no doubt that organized crime is dramatically draining the vitality out of the system. And if we get deflation, that's the reason. Hi, Catherine. A month or so ago, you got into briefly and asked Catherine a way that an individual could lend money out to people similar to how an institutional lender could do it. I was wondering if you could go over that again, because twice now in the past year, I have a guy who's an acquaintance of the family ask me for money, yet he has never asked me if my wife and I needed any help with my son. And this is someone who knows my wife and I are added alone here in the great state of Texas. Okay, so this doesn't sound like anybody you should lend money to. You know, the only guy you should lend money to is the guy who comes to you and says, I need to borrow this, and here's how I'm going to pay it back, and here's when I can pay it back. So they got to have an exit plan and a proposal as to why it's good for you before you even consider it. So this guy doesn't sound like your man. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm someone who enjoys helping people, but I don't enjoy being used. So if I can learn how to have a money lending small business like you go into one in the previous Ask Catherine, then either this guy will stick around and be a friend or realize he will not be able to walk away with my money without legally owing me something. Okay, so there are servicing companies that service small loans. One way to do this is to team up with a local bank who's interested and you provide credit help, but they underwrite and service the whole thing. And so you don't have to get involved in being your own servicer, but the bank can do that. But then you have a professional sort of helping you and organizing everything and making sure it's on the up and up. And then if they default, you know, the bank knows how to get that into their credit record. So there's some real teeth. I would look for either a firm that does servicing of loans or partnerships. What I always do in these kind of situations is I just assume it's a gift. I write it off in my mind. I don't look to make money on these kinds of situations because at the amounts I'm handing up, it's not worth the paperwork. What you might do is you might check out the small development or the sort of development loan funds in your area, because then they're lending to people or small business and you're putting money in the development fund. And I would also check out the review we did of Michael Schumann's book this week on local investment. So definitely check out the development funds in your area, because you put money into them and then they do some of this stuff. And don't be afraid to gift money. So if you look, you take a look at our Christmas donations, we're great believers in supporting new media. So there's a lot of new media doing great things and we just gift that money out. And what I find, and I've told the stories, is a lot of times when you gift money out to what I call the people bank, it's amazing how it comes back around. Dear Catherine, I was hoping you could give us thoughts on the risks of deflation, in particular how the risk compares to 2008, when I wrongly thought it was a risk. I am a commercial real estate investor and developer. I'm looking at having to refinance a large holding in about a year from now. My question is how to assess the risk of continuing significant rate increases in the 10-year bond rate, which is the most relevant factor in refinancing and valuation of commercial properties. Would you consider selling the property and taking the proceeds off the table? I was able to buy a cap on my current mortgage, and the rate and level debt is conservative for now, but a significant rate increase from here could change that. So what I would do is, it's what I said to the previous question on deflation, I would take a look at sort of how we do in January and February. And if interest rates continue to sort of march up, I might take the proceeds off the table. I might just, you know, get out or refinance. If you can handle the rates at the March level, then you might go ahead. But I'm very conservative right now. And if anything, I'd like to have some money to play with. Now, the problem with having money to play with in a debasement is if it's not in a real asset, you run the risk of it getting clobbered. So that's the argument for holding on. I don't know enough about your properties to know, I don't know enough about the storage facility to know for sure. But one thing you could do is if you have multiple properties, is sell one or two and use that money to pay the debt off of all of them and keep the real assets. So it's a good time to be real. Anyway, I hope that helps. I always have trouble commenting on these without knowing a lot more information about the specifics than you should be giving me or we should be discussing on Ask Catherine. I wanted to read a feedback that came into subscriber input because I think this is so extraordinary. It relates to the post we did on Veterans Day. Every year I use the same post because there's a picture that I absolutely love. It's a picture of a soldier standing and praying or thinking or contemplating at the Vietnam Memorial, the wall with all the names of the soldiers who have fallen. And the quote underneath it is, "In war there are no unwounded soldiers." And it shows the spiritual and emotional cost to the soldiers who live and also the cost to the soldiers who die. It's a remarkable photograph. Anyway, somebody posted this morning at the commentary the following. The artist of this picture is the late Lee Teeter. In the spring of 1985, he was photographing veterans as they experienced the wall commemorating those young and old soldiers lost in Vietnam. My family was on vacation. On the drive home, my dad wanted to visit this wall. So we stopped in D.C. The grassy knolls and angular wall was not that interesting to kids, but for the adults, it was hallowed ground. My dad walked searching for names of comrades whose fate he didn't know. He found one, a fellow Army soldier who didn't make it home. While I was just a teenager at the time, watching my father's reaction, I realized this meant something profound, and so did Lee. He stood watching my dad and took the picture of his painful and sad revelation. What we didn't know then was the lifelong bond the artist and this Purple Heart soldier would have from that moment forward. Mr. Teeter would later use a group of Vietnam vets from a local VFW to build a composite image. He would then paint into the picture you included here. My father would take no credit or money and signed away any royalty rights after Mr. Teeter's death, and the U.S. Post Office acquired the rights. So my dad lives his life with the effects of this war every day, and he is now in the sunset of his life. This is likely to be his last Christmas. To see this image used means more than you can know, so thank you for honoring a silent veteran whose life is bound by the ties here and in the beyond. So I wrote back and said, I'm so touched. I love this picture and keep asking our team to use it every year. Prayers for you and your wonderful father and his comrades. So it just shows you what one remarkable photograph can do and one remarkable life can do. So thank you for the feedback. Okay, more feedback. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Some Amish friends of ours are wondering, I'll just summarize, should they get U.S. IDs so they can cross borders to get to safer places, or should they not? So here's my message. So far, some of the best places I've seen in the world to stay free are in the rural areas of the United States. So I would spend more time building up my networks with other Amish and self-sufficient communities in North America rather than spend time trying to get, you know, the ID you need to cross borders, because I don't think you're going to get necessarily to a safer place. And if you are, it may be in northern Canada, and I assure you there's going to be a way to get across the border, or there probably will be a way to get across the border. But I would think your best shot is going to be in North America, so I would focus all your time and effort on that as opposed to trying to get Social Security or get in the system. Hello, Catherine. In a box for a fecal test, the attached questionnaire was included. The questionnaire did not seem applicable to anything to do with the test. I had just listened to your interview with Whitney Webb, and I tossed the questionnaire. Okay, so this questionnaire is so frightening. It's unbelievable. We put it in the notes. You'll have to expand it because it's kind of tiny. Unbelievable. So it's all weaponization of mental health. Do not answer these questions. Do not. This is no good. And just refuse. And if that means you have to cancel your insurance. Do not answer these questions. You're giving people the power you know, to do things in your life you just don't even want to imagine. Anyway, I really appreciate your sending that, because that one is a doozy, and the name of the healthcare company is Promise Health, P-R-O-M-I-S. Wow. Last week in Money and Markets, one chart of the U.S. election showed New Mexico a blue wall surrounded by red states. You and John wondered about that. Perhaps it is because of Los Alamos, the secretive DOD research lab at Sandy Labs, White Sands Missile Range. Don't forget the Glitterati hangout in Santa Fe. So there's tremendous amounts of government money. And you mentioned Jeffrey Epstein and his ranch. He may be gone, but they still hang out there in trendy art places like Taos. Plus, our Governor Grisham is good friends with Richard Branson. So, you know, and it talks about the spaceport in New Mexico. I don't know why New Mexico is so blue. There is a tremendous amount of government money going into New Mexico, and there's not, and I haven't looked at the percentages recently, but I'm sure it's a high percent, so that could be part of it. Hi, Catherine. Regarding the robots in San Francisco, here's a quote from a retired cop from San Francisco. He was the real deal, headed a small task force which reduced crime by 40% in the Sunnydale projects in 1 year, which was completely defunded. Yeah, that's what they do when it works. Quote, they were looking at those robots over 10 years ago. The bomb squad had one that uses water cannons for disarming bombs, just more hype. That's his takeaway. I'm a little bit more concerned about it, because these guys are working up to that. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for all you and the Solari team do. And then there's a recommendation on the homeopathic medical system and how effective it's been and some of the success they're having with vaccine injuries. And I think this is extremely good advice, and I would recommend you read the whole piece. They recommend a website of practitioners, homeopathy247.com. It has bios and can help you find people. But I think if you're struggling with health problems or a vaccine injury, trying homeopathy is an excellent idea. I would note the FDA is moving to try and shut it down, you know, which tells you that it's highly effective. Anyway, I really appreciate your doing that and that link. I think that's great. Dear Catherine, not only the bodies they want, they also want part of the human who is a creative perpetuum mobile, let's call it. I'm not sure what this means. So yeah, they absolutely do want energy. So this is a comment on sort of the harvesting of our energy and spiritual fields. Hi, Catherine. The issue of locating safe unvaccinated blood has been a concern of mine for some time. If one should need blood due to illness or injury, regular blood transfusions seem to be a backdoor to get you jabbed with a bioweapon. Here's an organization I recently came across in Switzerland that's trying to change all of that. So Safe Blood Donations at safeblood.ch. And they've got an English section and a Dutch section. Thank you very much for that. So safeblood.ch, and the links are here. Question, I was surprised to read this article about one verse omitted from versions of the Bible published after 1960. Wow, they deleted fasting from Mark. I had no idea. Now, I've always used King James, and I've spent a lot of time, when I first took my first introduction to the Bible, the first class I took, they had us read all the things that got edited out of the King James. So we had to read Enoch and Thomas, and I just got another copy for my Netherlands office of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So, you know, and I've got tons of stuff from the Essenes, so I'm always looking to read the stuff they edited out. But it's unbelievable they edited out fasting, so I'll look at that. I really appreciate that. Hi, Catherine, I was thinking during the podcast that a meeting between Catherine Austin Fitz and Thomas Williams of Truth, Honor, Integrity would begin to answer the questions. This looks pretty interesting. So it relates to my talking about interdimensional intelligence and invisible warfare. Thomas has been addressing the spiritual warfare angle for years. Well, I thank you for that. I will take a look. Then there's a link to the Book of Common Prayer that Dr. Farrell gave me. Thank you for that. Somebody wanted to know if we could put a little image up for non-subscribers, or an image up on subscriber-only content, so you could know whether it was public or private. And we thought that was a great suggestion and are going to explore doing so. We may not be able to go back and do the historical content, but we can certainly do it going forward. Question. Oh, so now we go into health and food. It appears the G20 has agreed to the G20 to the digital vaccine passport standardized by the WHO, and we'd be part of international pandemic prevention. So you want to know whether they can do that without Senate approval? I would say absolutely not. I think they need two-thirds of the Senate. They don't have it. Now, are they going to try and sneak it through? Absolutely. You pointed out in Ohio there's committee to prevent vaccine passport requirements. I absolutely think every state needs to pass these. This just needs to be killed dead. Like a vampire, a stake through the heart. And I think it was one of the reasons that the Senate got rigged to be Democratic control, because they're trying to get stuff like this through. But I agree with you. You need two th or I agree with your inference. You need two-thirds. This is a treaty. And I think the WHO treaty and the vaccine passports, the Biden administration has no authority to commit or agree to any of that. Question. I just called the power company to have my smart meter removed, which I was denied. I then called my state rep, who's reaching out to the power company and shared a PDF with me. I'm clear, unclear if I have an option or the deal is sealed in PA. I don't know. Normally, in most places, there's an opt-out program. So I would continue to, I would do real research as to what the utility is doing, what the opt-out programs are, but I would find groups in your area who are working to ensure opt-out programs or pushing back against smart meters, because they're going to have an awful lot of intelligence about what's happening and who's doing what. So I would find your local groups who are dealing with this and get mastery on what the utility is doing, because I don't think in a lot of areas it's got to give you an opt-out. So I would keep pushing it. I wouldn't just do the Faraday. Now, I say that, and I've got a smart meter in my house, and I haven't pushed it just because we didn't have an opt-out program on mine. But if you look at the time it was going to take and the risk of physical danger that I've, at that point I was running where I live for other reasons, I thought, okay, I'm not going to add flame to the fire. Ultimately, the real solution is to come up with your own energy solution and get completely off of the grid. And to me, if you have the time and resources, that's what I would focus on doing. And it sounds like an impossibly big job, but if enough of us organize locally to do it, we can do it. So that's part of the benefit of finding other people in your area. Okay, local gatherings, nothing. Recommended links, again, homeopathy 24/7. Another option on homeopathy. Some links on drought. That's very helpful. Pick me up ideas for when feeling a bit on the downside. These are great. Thank you. Never blame others for your own mistakes. That's a good one. The 30-day faith challenge. That's great. That's from Giza Death Star. Okay, all sorts of great links, some of which the contract to build roads on the moon we discussed in Money and Markets this week. Lots of great links. Something on Robert Malone sues the Bregans for 20 million, 25 million, which I'm going to have something to say about. Hopefully, we'll do an excerpt this week. And Revolt in China, LED bulbs. Lots of interesting links. Okay. Take action, no questions. Other. Hi, Catherine. Where do we go to learn about basic laws and rights of the citizens? I sent that your question to Matt Hale, who's a wonderful attorney who's a subscriber and has written some great pieces on Solari for how to handle legal issues. Honestly, there is a lot of good material on YouTube put out by lawyers in various specialties for self-defense and firearms. Masad Ayoub, AYOOB, and Active Self-Defense have good material. Here's a good presentation on not talking to the police, and there's a link here. This will all be in the final notes. And then Pop Brothers Law does a series called Shut the Fuck Up Friday, which deals with interacting with the police. That is very funny, because the big mistake everybody makes is they say too much. So you want to use as few words as possible. Anyway, so I will have these links in the show notes. That's really fun. Shut the fuck up, Friday. I don't like using four-letter words on the Slater Report, but I had to use that one. Question: while watching the Epoch Times, The Shadow State Democracy, it occurred to me that the ESG agenda is the greatest protection racket of all time. It certainly is one of them. Now, if you look at all the protection rackets that are going on. So this is the plan: get companies on board, get them in line with the agenda, and together we solve the problems of climate change, inequality, racism, and gun violence. I believe the last sentence was sarcasm. Anyway, yeah, so then you turn then you turn the once you get the system in place, then you just send them herding wherever you want them to go. ESG, if you want to learn more about ESG, and it's not just ESG, but how it's being used. So it's turned particularly evil over the last year or two. I wrote an analysis of ESG in 2019 in one of the wrap-ups. It was 18 or 19. Can ESG turn the red button green is the name of that one. And a couple years before, I wrote one on can we screen for productive companies? But ESG at this point has nothing to do with screening for productive companies. It has to do with it's a social credit system and it's really evil and ugly. Dear Catherine, you are one of my heroes. Thank you for your wonderful report, stories, and light on the truth of this madness. I closed my small business of 11 years in Florida and decided to become part of the solution. I worked tirelessly with the best businesses and created my own really stylish, multifunctional line of Faraday EMF protection. It's at emffortress.com. You can see under videos on the website how they work. I would love to send you samples and, if possible, collaborate with you as I'm trying to bring some transparency. Feel free to call me or email me at holpet. So I put all those links here. We just did a Solari report on Faraday bags and products, so we're not about to do one. And Corey Lynn has done some on the sort of the telecommunication questions. But I'll put these links in the note. I hope that helps, and I will take a look at your website. So one of the things I would say is what people really need is somebody to come into their home and their lives and walk them through real solutions. It's almost like they need an audit, a hand education, sort of the financial planning version of EMF radiation protection. And so I don't know if you guys do that or you want to team up with people who do that, but that's really, people need somebody who can do a complete survey and help them transition to an, EMF, relatively EMF-free diet. Question: it appears the Chinese government is intentionally making decisions to harm their own economy. Why do you think they would do that? There are multiple reasons, and they relate to who is Mr. Global and what does Mr. Global want. But there's no doubt the national security, the people who make money on war and national security are rising in both China and the US vis-a-vis the people who want to trade. And if you want to understand what the issues are, I would strongly recommend you read both the Steve Roche book, Unbalanced, as well as the book, AI Superpowers. And if you don't have time to read them, which I completely understand, just read the reviews in the Solari Report. We did an interview with Steve Roche, and then I reviewed the AI Superpowers. They're both very insightful, very helpful books to understand what's going on. And I would say the tensions and the deterioration and the relationship is very significant. Anyway, so the show notes include an appendix of the often recommended links. Take a look at those. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on Ask Catherine. And again, questions that came in after December 5th will roll into next week, and I'll see you on Ask Catherine next week. Bye.